Hello, everybody. Thanks for coming here to my talk. This is Murtaza, and I'm a research scientist recently hired at Agriculture Agri-Food Canada. A little background about myself. This is my first time in ASA. I did a lot of watershed. Oh, can you hear me? Should I repeat? as I mentioned, I'm a scientist at Ag Canada. Recently started working at January, and a little background about me, I did environmental engineering and crop modeling is a new area for me to explore. I did atmospheric modeling, watershed modeling, and in the past 2 years I got involved with a little bit of crop modeling. And this work was actually done before I started my position as a research scientist, a postdoc at AFC. And with collaboration of great colleague Dr. Patty, Dr. Jago, Dr. Terambly, and their team. So what I'm going to talk about today, I'm going to talk about the central question of nitrogen management, which is what is the optimum level of nitrogen when the climate is variable and we have different soil. Outline is, I'll talk a little bit of what is optimum N, how do we use model to identify it, and there is going to be a case study of rain for rain-fed corn in major corn production of Canada. So what is this optimum rate? Simply define it, you can see a typical yield function here. The optimum N rate is defined as a rate beyond which application of N rate is no more economically justified. At this rate, the slope of this function, which we call nitrogen use efficiency delta Y to delta N, is equal to price of N fertilizer to price of yield. So what are the two main questions I'm going to address here is that what about the environmental damage cost? It's not included in this perspective. So if we include such effects in this calculation, we're going to have damage cost added to this optimum NUE, and then this slope will be higher, and we're going to have a lower optimum N rate when we account for environmental consideration. The second question is, what happens when we have climate variations? The first thing that happens is that this yield function I'm showing here will be different for different climatic years. And the same level of, if you select one NUE, the same NUE or slope will result to different N rates. So for the same cost of fertilizer to yield, we're going to have different optimum rates in different years. This is important to understand the rest of my talk. So why are you using models? Two main reasons. We can simulate the response of yield to N with small increment, and then we can do it for a long time period, 50 plus years, and with consistent cultivar. How does it work? We just need a process-based crop model. This is the sticks crop model developed in France. Why this? We're using this because it was adopted, tested extensively in Eastern Canada. So it can be done with any other model. What we do, we have climate data and we have management practices. So we are trying, we will do a small increment of N and establish yield response to N rate for different years. What we get in the end, a plot like this. Each point represents a simulation point, and each color represents a significant, a specific year. So as you can see, there's a big variation when we do this simulation from 1 year to another, and that will impact our optimum rate. The next step is we'll use this data and fit yield function. We tried it with two commonly used functions, linear plateau and Michelin ball. We go back to our data, we select specific year, something like here, and we try to fit those functions there. What we observed was the NP function, the red one here, is not doing a very good job to mimic the six output, mainly because it doesn't account for the plateau one. And then linear plateau function does a better job, but it's giving us only one slope, and we can't see how NUE will change, and we can't identify the optimum N. So what we did, we combined the two functions, MBP, and what we saw was that this black line here, that it does a better job in mimicking the sticks output. So we used the MBP function to fit our data to fit to this sticks output data, and we got better result in terms of slope prediction and lower root mean square. So that was I would just show it for one location. We extended the simulation, and then this is mixed with plain equal zone, Saturn, Ontario, and Quebec. That's where 90% of corn rainfall, corn of Canada is produced. The interesting thing about here is that when you move from Windsor all the way to Quebec, the CHU will decrease, and we get more and more rainfall. So there's a gradient of agroclimatic condition in this region. And we have all this for each region. We identified three main soil, and we did 50 plus years of simulation using the sticks model. So what do we do with this data set that we have? We want to identify an optimum NUE. How do we do that? Here, we came up with two different criteria, one environmental and one representing geophysics. So there are these two graphs here. The one on the left shows the optimum N rate for different years versus the corresponding yield. Remember, I in the beginning I talked about selecting NUE. One NU will represent to as many NOPT value as the number of years we are doing the simulation. So we'll have a scatter plot like this. The important point here is that for a specific NOPT, you're going to have a large variation in yield. That's telling us if you put one NOPT value for some years, it's giving higher N yield and other years lower. So definitely in some years, it's not going to the plant. It's not an environmentally friendly option. And then on the right, we have the yield loss. So as we increase this NUE, what happens is that we're losing more yield, but this scatteredness is being reduced and reduced and reduced. So that's what's happening. So these two criteria we're using to identify our NUE. This is the summary of what I showed in the previous slide. The R square is the environment, that scatteredness, showing that when we increase NUE, we get better and better environmental outcome, but we are going to use more and more yield. So there is a balance between them. We don't want to lose more than 0.5 ton yield per hectare of yield. At the same time, we want to get better environment. In this case, something about 13 will be good for environment and not losing some yield. So we go back to our scatter plot, we select NUE, and then for expected yield, we can find the recommended value of N. So how does this work in other locations? We did this for those five regions in different soil. What we observed was we saw two different patterns. Some of these soils were getting to this. This is in R-square again, the environmental factor. We'll saturate at 0, 10, and the other will get still environmental benefit at higher optimum NUE. I forgot to mention this 0.10 is actually the economic optimum rate based on the corn and yield price in Eastern Ontario. So we started with that. We wanted to see how far we should go to get better environmental performance. And this is kind of outputs we get from each region or location. We can select our expected yield. We select our optimum UE. For each expected yield, we'll have the likelihood of getting that yield, recommended value, how much on average we'll lose compared to maximum achievable year, and what is the end deficit or excess, comparing the recommended value with all the optimum values in the number of years we have. So for that case, the NUE opt was 0.17. For other cases here, I'm showing there is different kind of NUE opt. In some years we have economic values, some years it's some locations and cities we have, it's better to go to higher NUE. We'll get some environmental benefits. So is there any pattern here? Looking at the end recommendation for all regions and different soils for expected yield of 8, we can see some interesting pattern going on. For example, for sandy loam that we had a simulation over 5 regions, we can see that the agroclimatic condition, like in Windsor, we had higher CHU and it was decreasing to higher then precipitation was increasing. With this pattern, we can see the amount of N being applied is increasing. So in hotter area, we need less N compared to wetter conditions. The second pattern we observed was for the same region, like Windsor, as we go towards the right, the clay content, for clay factor, we need the higher N compared to the loam content in the soil. So that's the second pattern we saw in our results. What else? There is another interesting pattern and trend we observed was that here I am showing the available water capacity, basically field capacity minus wilting point. And those above, that's based on pedotransfer function and soil properties. Those who have a higher available water capacity than 15 are in dark blue. Those in lower available than 12 available water capacity are in red, and then light blue are in between. So going back and looking at our NUE opt, we can see that the low available water capacity corresponds to higher NUE opt, and the high available water capacity corresponds to economic or lower NUE opt. So that gives us some insight how this soil property impacts our NUE opt and recommendation in the end. To conclude, there were we found that the end recommendation must be region and soil specific. Second of all, we found that NUE opt range from 10 to 17 kilogram of dry year per N was higher for loamy soil and lower for clay soil. N opt was also higher for soil with lower available water capacity. And finally, when we compared this with some recommendation available in Ontario and Quebec, we found that it's like 20 to 40 kilogram per hectare less than the recommended values. So thank you a lot. I would accept questions. Yeah, if I'm understanding right, you're talking about split application versus applying it once at the beginning of the season, right? As well as time. Yeah. We did some initial simulation with split application versus applying that all at once, and we didn't see much difference when looking at longer time period, but the space sort of included in, because we did the same climatic condition, different regions, so that's not within field space, but that's spatial variation that we considered. So, yeah.
So, another question?
The first one was, does it account for N-minerization, right? Yeah, it has N-cycle components in the soil and in the crop, so it has a complete N-cycle, but I don't think the gene stuff are in there yet. The second question was that, is this applicable for entire Canada? Was that your question? Yeah, this can be implemented in anywhere as long as we have the soil data, climatic data, and some management for those kind of process-based model needs some inputs like seeding date, density, field capacity, some soil data. As long as we have that, and then we test it for N cycle, make sure that its response is correct before we go to the next step to implement that for recommendation. It can be implemented in any other region. We're actually trying to make an interface if get funded. So.
Thank you.